So we're just going to do the podcast at the podcast show where we do a podcast about the podcast.
On the podcast with the podcast mic. Podcast
where we do a podcast with my podcast mic on my podcast.
Podcast ahead. Yeah, I sure hope it does.
You have no idea. So we drove. Well, let me grab my scissors and I'll tell the story.
Yeah, you got to have those for podcasting.
Oh.
Okay.
That was really loud.
You got to hold the little spring so it stops vibrating. I feel like I'm going to turn my gain down a little bit.
All right. Yeah, we'll edit all that out. Nobody needs to hear that in their ears. So we drove.
That's true about your voice in general.
Yeah, hey, you should probably just mute this and play it in the background so that we get the numbers.
Yeah, gotta get them views.
Views. So we drove. Jess and I were in person, IRL, last week.
We did not record. We barely even talked, to be honest.
Yeah, it was really awkward. We stayed with her and Jess just like didn't speak to me. She's like, no, we can only, it's weird to talk to you in person. We can only talk through Discord, sorry. Mm-hmm. So she would go into the other room and then we'd get on Discord and it was really weird.
It was fun when we were in there, right? Like that felt okay.
Yeah, it was just weird every time you came out to use the bathroom and didn't talk to us.
Yeah, just middle finger, walked right by. They know why. They fucking know why.
No, we went to San Francisco. We had a great time. We were there for a friend's wedding.
Cammie came to San Francisco.
Cammie was in San Francisco.
And I think she did so well.
She did do pretty well. She did do pretty well.
So
I think
well.
Her medication is working, so that's good.
Wish yours would.
Yeah. You and me both. So we were in San Francisco for a week. We drove there, and then we drove back, and it was a lot of driving. By the end of the drive, we came across like one little road work ahead sign, and we had been making the joke the entire road trip. But this one, it was just like, road work ahead. Yeah. I sure hope it does.
You sound so sad. Resigned. Like I hope it does.
I really hope it does because I want to get home.
Could you
really
imagine if it doesn't work and we don't get home?
Yeah, it was a lot of driving. Utah is beautiful to drive through, I got to say. Like, it was just the prettiest. We drove through I-70 on the way out, so we went down to Las Vegas. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And that route was very pretty, so there's a lot of just like red mountains and desert and stuff that you drive through. And then on the way back we drove through Salt Lake on I-80, so we went through like salt flats, and that was super cool as well. So it was a cool drive, you know. It was a lot of driving. I was really quite tired of driving by the end of it, but you know, we got there. Drove through Reno, drove through some places that I never hope to go to again, such as Bakersfield, California.
Wait, did you see the sign in Wendover that I was talking about?
Yeah, where it's like the real Wendover.
It's so funny and petty and stupid.
So there's a small, I guess you could call it a town.
Yeah, like it's not big.
The border of Nevada and Utah, and it basically the entire economy of the town is a couple hotels and then the salt mines. And so there's really not people that live in the town. There's one casino on the Nevada side. And so there's like a trailer park of people who I assume work at the casinos. There's no towns around that you could drive. So like, I'm assuming the only people that live there work at the few hotels.
Right there,
and
yeah.
And so, but it's so bizarre. We stayed at a little Best Western in Wendover. And then on the Nevada border is West Wendover. But these towns seem to hate each other. So, like, you'll be driving from West Wendover into Wendover and be like, now entering the real Wendover. Fuck you, West Wendover.
So when I drove out to see Becca and David, like, 2 years ago? 3 years ago?
2021 when you moved to
Senia. 2 years ago, yeah. I stopped there and I just thought that sign was so petty and funny.
It's so silly.
And I tried to explain it, but, like, until you see it, I don't know if you can truly appreciate it.
What is going on here? So that was cool. It was a pretty drive, but it was just so much time in the road. And then we got back late Sunday night and then just went to work on Monday. So we've been tired all week. We really haven't finished unpacking. And then tomorrow is the Taylor Swift concert and my cousin is coming in for it. she bought Alex's ticket because Alex got a puppy. And so she's getting in tonight at like 11:30. So we're basically just like, we have not like settled back down. So yeah, we're tired, but it's good. It's all good stuff. It's all fun stuff.
It was a pretty good visit, I think.
Taking suggestions in the chat for more silly friendship bracelets I'm making for the Taylor Swift concert. As I learned from TikTok, all of the youths are making these bracelets with the little words on them and the beads, and they're trading them as like a nice little, you know, memory. And so I went and bought some beads. So like, because of Taylor Swift now, like, Amazon sells these kits of bead making material, like bracelet making materials with all these beads. But it's, I don't know if it's because of her, but they're on Amazon for cheap, but it's like 8,000 beads. Like, you can only buy them on Amazon in kits of like 8,000 beads.
Oh, that seems reasonable.
I was like, this is a hobby that I'm going to pick up for this week and then never do again, probably. Maybe I'll make some silly ones for my friends. But like, I don't want to waste that much plastic. But I was looking around at all these local craft shops, and because Taylor Swift is coming to town this week, everyone was sold out of all their beads except for, ding, 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 Walmart, because Taylor Swift fans are classist. And so nobody thought to go to Walmart. So I went to Walmart and I got all my beads and stuff. And I was reminded of why I don't shop at Walmart. No offense to the Walmart shoppers, but it was just a terrible experience.
Wow, I think you have offended the Walmart shoppers.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But I'm taking suggestions. I've been making exclusively silly ones. So I've made like three that say Taylor Smith, because I just think that that'll be really funny for people to get and think it says Taylor Swift after we trade. And then they're like,
Tyler Smith would be funnier.
I'll do Tyler Smith. I'm going to do one. So like, she has the new album that she re-released, Sparks Fly, and the color of it is purple. Yeah, so I'm going to do an all purple one, but I'm going to write Sharks Fly because I think that's funny.
That would land in San Jose. I can tell you that right now.
Sharks Fly. So I'm pulling out all these little purple beads right now if you hear bead sounds.
Nice.
Insert bead sounds.
You should all know that while Becca was here, she beat Zelda.
I did defeat Ganon.
On her first try. Like, let's be clear here.
Pro gamer.
She rolled in there and was like, Ganon, absolutely not. You seem like a bad dude. So
I didn't even have like all the supplies I thought I needed. I went and bought a bunch of bomb arrows before. I didn't have the right armor. I didn't have anything, but I had about 80 bomb arrows, and I was like, through bomb arrows, all things are possible. And it was true. I defeated Ganon with bomb arrows.
I, of course,
had the Master Sword.
I did require you to learn how to reflect before you went in there.
That was important. That was an important lesson.
The second stage, for those of you that don't know, of the fight, you gotta reflect.
I gotta reflect. So she made me go to, what, the Forgotten Temple with all the guardians. There's just like scary
a
place.
Dozen guardians in there.
I don't like this at all. But I didn't know about reflecting and how it just like kills them immediately. And that was very exciting for me to find out. So,
yeah, it's a good skill because I didn't learn that. So when I played Breath of the Wild, you know, 6 years ago or whatever, I missed the temple that teaches you how to reflect. And so I got there and I'm like, why can't I hurt him? What am I supposed to do? Looked it up and
temple?
Well, the Hyrule Castle. No, Hyrule Castle. I went through the Forgotten Temple not knowing how to do that, and so I had to get up near him and hit him with my sword a whole bunch.
Bombs. The Master Sword?
Yeah.
The sword that seals the darkness?
Yeah, you know, the Blade of Legend, Evil's Bane.
Is that Epona, Horse of Legend? I'm basically a professional gamer now. You guys don't even know.
Yeah, it was really good. I was impressed because I've been kind of watching Becca. I've been watching Becca play a little bit, and she's been like pointing her iPad at the screen so I can see. And sometimes it's funny because like you do stupid things sometimes, but mostly I was actually really impressed because this is not the kind of game
that
you
I
play.
Enjoy. Yeah. At all. I like very cerebral puzzle games where there are no bad guys ever. So my favorite game that I've ever played is The Witness.
Yeah.
Because it's just you on an island solving really chill puzzles. There's no one else on this island. It's just so chill, so calm.
We do Smash Brothers, though. And Overcooked, Mario Kart.
Overcooked is fine, though, because it's not like there's bad guys. Your only enemy is yourself and your inability to cook. No bad guys.
Like, if David plays, he's a bad guy, but he's not, like, a bad guy.
He's not, like, a bad guy.
Yeah, I get it.
And then in true San Francisco fashion, so we had a little side quest throughout our time there, which is my nephew. I got him last year when I was in SF. I got him this book that's called Counting to 10 in San Francisco, or San Francisco Count to 10 or something. And it's got all these little different landmarks in San Francisco. It'll be like one cable car rolls down the street, two dragons at the Chinatown gate, like all these little things. And so we made that our mission to get pictures at all of the little stops. So on our way out of town, we needed one more of me on the beach, like where you could see the bridge in the background. So Dave and I drove up to like the marina, to Ghirardelli Square, parked a car, and we were on the beach, I shit you not, 30 seconds. Like, walked down to the beach, we're walking back towards the car, and we see these guys. There was a car, like, rolling real slow, and a guy hops out of it. He is checking the car behind us, and he's got a hood, black mask, sunglasses. You couldn't even tell what race he was. The dispatcher asked me later, and I was like, I have no idea. And he was wearing like bright red gloves and like all black, other than his gloves. And they were doing the classic like bad guy pose. Like, it literally felt like something out of Grand Theft Auto, where you like see some guys doing stuff and you like roll up. They were like creeping around looking in the car, and then they go up to our car, and I just yell, "Hey, that's my car!" I was like, had they been armed, I don't know what I would have done.
Were they like, sorry about that, miss?
So the guy hops in his car and they drive away, and I call 911 and I'm like, yeah, there's some guys trying to break into cars here. And I gave her the plate because they just drove away and they hadn't covered the plate or anything. So I assume they were driving a stolen car or a stolen plate.
Stolen plate, absolutely.
And she was like, but did they get into your car?
But did you die, though?
I was like, no, but attempted robbery is still a crime, ma'am.
That can't be true. I don't think that's true.
She was like, yeah, but like, did you die? Like, it was kind of, she's like, were they armed? Oh, like,
so you have all your things and you're still calling me?
So it sounds like you're fine. I was like, I'm giving you a plate and a make and model of a car and a direction that they're heading. This feels like all the information you need to get these
fuckers. What you're doing is giving her paperwork?
Yeah, that's it. She's like, unless you shot them and they're dead, then like, don't bother me because this isn't interesting.
And if you did shoot them, you're going to jail.
Yeah, right to jail, right away.
Right away.
But I would, like, it is interesting, right? It's a problem that is pretty unique to San Francisco, because I remember, like, when you and Chris and Sabrina were here for the ski trip, and we, like, went out to dinner, and we were, like, I was just fully gonna, like, leave your guys' luggage in the car, because that kind of thing really doesn't
happen. Oh, when we went to Stoney's, yeah.
Yes, and you and Chris were like, no, we're bringing our luggage into the restaurant. And I was like, all right, whatever floats your boat, but like, it's going to be fine. boo.
Sorry, but I know science.
But it is a unique problem, and I think to San Francisco, and I can't put my finger on it, but I was a little bit bothered by just how victim blamey all of the messaging is.
Oh, it always is. It's like, well, you should know better.
Yeah, I mean, I guess I was wrong. Our very last stop, so right after we almost got robbed, we then had to go to the Palace of Fine Arts. We need one more picture.
Get another picture.
And so we parked the car, but we did not let it out of our eyesight. Like, we just walked over just far enough to where you could get the picture. But there were signs all over that were like, don't get robbed. Like, don't be a victim of robbery. And it was like, maybe you guys should start catching the fucking robbers. Like, what are we doing? What are we doing?
It's a whole debate. I mean, I don't go on Reddit anymore, but when I did, like, every day in the San Francisco or Bay Area Reddits, people would be talking about this. They'd be like, the police don't do their job because they don't like that we tried to defund them. And then they're like, the police don't do their job because our progressive leaders won't let them. They said, you know, the police don't do their job because their criminals are going to get back out anyways. I'm like, I don't know what to tell you guys. I don't know what solves the issue other than, like, making sure everyone has what they need so they don't feel compelled to steal.
I don't know. I mean, there's poverty exists in every city, major city, but I've never seen car theft to this degree. And it just seems like it's not enforced. And the attitude from the dispatcher really, like, lent itself to that theory where she was just like, did they actually break in? I was like, no, but you should go catch them.
You don't want to stop them because they're going to break into somebody else's car. They're not just going to stop. They're going to say that white lady is right. We shouldn't do this.
Yeah, like So I think it's just interesting. It's like, yes, obviously there's systemic issues and such, but clearly it's not working, whatever's going on. Like, that just
shouldn't be a
thing. Well,
so they ousted the DA, the more progressive DA, in that election when you were here last year, but it hasn't changed under the new one. So I don't know what the solution is. Area of expertise. What I know is titties. So
yeah, surely there is like a version of policing that makes people actually feel safer, but I don't think it can exist in
America. Yeah, not with the systems we have in place. You have to tear that down and rebuild it.
Yeah, it's not great, but I was so shaken after that. I mean, because we had thankfully brought Cammy with to take the pictures on the beach, but I was like, had she been in the car? I mean, you don't know how desperate these people are, and if they are armed and they're like, whatever, just kill the dog so we can grab this backpack. Like, I would have never, ever lived with myself, and it was just such
Cammy can't die. She is eternal.
Yeah, or you don't know if they would have seen a dog in the car and be like, this one's not worth it because the dog's going to bark or whatever, but...
Or bite. Yeah.
Or bite.
Cammy's a biter.
But then you don't know, like, if they're crazy or if they're on drugs or whatever, like, they could just kill the dog.
They're not. This is organized stuff. It's not, like, the homeless population going out there and doing this. This is absolutely...
Yeah, they were in, like, a nice car.
Yeah, this is organized crime. It's probably similar to the people who do the retail theft where, you know, 40 people storm a store and grab whatever they can and then leave. It's not driven by... The unhoused population.
Well, yeah, it was the same thing when my brother and his wife, I don't know if we weren't when this happened.
I think we talked about it. I swear we talked about it in here where all their stuff was stolen.
It was a few days before Christmas and they were loading up their car and they like went inside to get the kids. And so they had left the car like warming up and like, thankfully the keys weren't in it, but it was on and unlocked because they had been loading all their shit in and out. And in the, like, 2 minutes that they went inside to, like, grab the car seats for the kids, somebody had driven by and stolen everything out of their car. And it was, like, a neighbor had a secure, like, a Ring camera that caught the car that did it. And it was, like, a brand new SUV. Like, it was not... This was not like junkies do it. This was not like...
No, it's not. But they'll tell you
like,
it is.
It wasn't criminals. It was just, like... It was just random people who were just, like, oh, great, a running car. Let's just see if it's open. Grab everything. I was just so angry after it happened because it's just like, you know, my car was the first thing that I bought after I got my job. And like, you know, it's stupid, but it is probably
or like dinner. You gotta eat.
It is probably like my most prized possession because to me, it's a symbol of just like how hard I worked to get the job that I have so I could buy the car that I have. And like, the thought that somebody in an instant would just roll up and decide that like that's theirs now and like they just don't give a shit, and it was an upsetting experience.
They weren't going to take the car.
No, but they would have smashed it to get shit out of it, right? Like that's the whole thing.
We got windows at home.
Everything. I mean, everything was in the car. It was all our luggage. It was our backpacks. It was our work shit. And like. Yeah, were we the smartest to leave that? But, like, what are you supposed to do? We were just stopping to take pictures for 2 minutes, and the car was locked, you know? Like, and
it happens 100 times a day.
I hated the mentality of that, seeing that happening, and then, like, immediately seeing signs posted all over the neighborhood that are just like, don't get robbed. Don't get robbed. And it's like, fucking catch the robbers. Like, what are you doing?
Bad sleep? Don't.
Don't get robbed. So I mean,
when they broke my window, remember they broke my window like the day before I got COVID, and then I had to deal with that while I had COVID because it was going to rain. Like I was so frustrated because I was like, there's nothing in here. There was nothing out. There was no indication that there's anything in the car. It had only been there a day. And the same thing like with my catalytic converter is like, these aren't unhoused people. They're not people out there with mental health issues. They're just organized assholes
this
going
is their
around.
Job.
Yeah, like this is how they make their living. So
it sucks.
Again, I don't know.
It
the
really
answer,
sucks.
But, on a better note, I want to tell the audience about the interaction I had today that I found very funny. was I'm the lead for Cisco's Bay Area Pride chapter, and there's a one for Meraki as well in the office. And I bumped into their co-lead a couple weeks ago, and I was like, we should team up, you know, get our communities working together, blah, blah, blah. So we finally met today, and I'm here at home, and I was using this mic. So I do all of my meetings with this same mic, the fancy one I use for podcasting, because it's always plugged in. And she was like, oh, nice mic, blah, blah, blah. I told her, yeah, it's because I hate my podcast partner here. You know, you got a good mic, so I had to get one because fuck you. And she said,
I got a good mic on eBay, to be fair. It was
very cheap. And I bought mine full price because I'm just better. That's okay.
I bought it from someone who was running their own QAnon podcast, so let it be known. Oh, by buying this mic, I took those ideas off the air.
You deplatformed them.
Yep.
Anyways, so of course, when you mention you have a podcast, people say, what's it about? And I always say, you know, eating fetuses right after they're born. Abortion. No, so I told her the name. I was like, oh, it's
abortion.
It's the Unholy Pod. You know, we read this, and she's like, hold on. Is it like an icon with a peach? And I was like, what? She had actually been recommended it by the Spotify algorithm. And she said she thinks it's because she was looking up,
she's like friends with people who work at Cisco and just happen to listen to it.
I don't know. I don't think so. So she doesn't listen regularly. I don't know when she'll hear this one, but Sue talked about it. I assume she'll listen again. But it just was so funny because that's the first time that someone I did not know at all has known about the podcast. Like, it's such a random happening, and it's just crazy because we always say, oh, we're doing this for like our friends, our 12 friends. But the reality is there's about 50 to 60 people who listen to each episode within, say, a month of it coming out.
Yeah, we don't have that many friends.
Yeah. Becca actually only has 6 friends. So the other 6 are mine. And so are her 6, but like I add an extra 6.
And the wedding's going to be really awkward.
Yeah, I'm inviting so many people because who's going to come if you call them? I'm like, who the fuck is this? So we... But it was just such a funny conversation because the podcast really is like our stupid thing. Like, you talk about it all the time. You're like, this is just a thing we do and other people happen to listen. But it was fun. It was a good icebreaker for the rest of the conversation, which was also good too. So shout out to DC if she's listening when she listens to this. But
oh God,
Becca just dropped all her beads.
All of them just fell off.
Every single one. Jesus Christ. She does her little crafts when we're trying to do the podcast, and she's not focused on deciding if someone's an asshole or not.
I'm always focused on that, actually.
Even when we're not doing the podcast.
Yeah, no, literally, speaking of people being assholes, so we're at this wedding in Los Gatos, which I have been informed that the locals call it Las Gatos, and if you say Los Gatos, which is the word, they will know that you're from out of town. And we heard it finally when we got into the shuttle at the end of the night to like go back to the hotel. And he's like, y'all are going to Las Gatos Lodge. And we were like, what?
To the where?
To the what?
What?
But so it was at this place called Nestle Down, which look it up. It is the most beautiful like venue
look
you
it
can
up.
Ever imagine.
Look it
you
up,
have
bitch.
To. Like it is
I'm
in
not gonna look
like the Redwood Forest. It feels like you're in like some fantasy movie. It's just beautiful. Like, it feels like you're in like what's the
Ferngully.
Elf place in Lord of the Rings in the first one where Galadriel lives.
Kokiri Forest.
No.
Hyrule Forest.
No.
She's
but it had that energy and it was so beautiful. And the wedding had a formal dress code. Formal. Which means formal. And like, it's to me as an adult, that's very fun because how often do you get like the opportunity to just dress to the nines, you know?
And, I can just do that. I do it all the time.
You just
as soon as we're off of
work,
this call, I'm putting my gown on. I'm gonna clean.
Yeah. So the people sitting in front of us for the ceremony, I don't know whose side they were on. I don't know who they knew, but the first thing was that I saw that the woman was wearing chacos, like hiking sandals, basically.
Okay.
And shorts, like jean shorts.
Sure, that seems reasonable.
Seems very formal.
That's formal,
right?
To like, me.
didn't try at all. Basically dressed like she was going to the grocery store and was like, good, I got it. Set. Done. And, you know, it whatever. But to me, I'm like, I spent a lot of, like, time and money to look real nice for this. And,
because like, normally,
so did everybody.
If you've seen Becca normally, like, you get why that's a lot of effort.
No, but it really takes you out of it, especially when you're in, like, a magical venue and the energy is just, like, magic. And then you just see someone there who looks like shit. It's like, come on.
I don't know. Try a little. I don't think that would bother me.
So that was the first thing. And then her and her husband spent the whole ceremony talking because they were annoyed. So as soon as the bridal party starts walking down the aisle, he pulls his phone out to take pictures, which, like, do not. There's a photographer. Don't take your phone out and take pictures.
Who were the people? Do you know them? Do you know who they were relative to the bride and groom?
I do not.
Hmm.
But they knew a lot of people there. But they're like, the guy's like holding up his phone. Oh, yes. Can I help you?
Is it David?
No, I forgot you were.
It is David.
I know him.
Hi, David.
Hi.
Hi, David.
I was interrupting your podcast.
That guy shit in my toilet last week.
Come on, Cammy.
Go on.
Cammy.
Go. Cammy really wants to be on the podcast.
She misses me. She knows I'm on the other side of this.
So this guy, and you can, Kyle and I never had a chance to talk about this, but this guy was sitting right behind Kyle. So like they were in the row between us and Kyle. So they spend the whole time trying to take pictures and videoing, like holding their phones up, like so high, trying to get good pictures, which is just annoying. And then talking about how the photographer was blocking their view, like blocking their pictures. And they're like, can you believe this? This is unbelievable. I can't get a single good picture.
What the hell? What the hell?
Because the photographer's standing in the way. And I was like, yeah, it's almost like it's the photographer's job to get the pictures. Like,
no, you sound absolutely dumb right now.
And so they were talking over the vows, complaining about this. And I'm like, we all came here for literally this moment. This is the whole thing. What they're doing their vows.
You came there
for
the party after.
Shut up. So anyway, that was me just, and then I was just angry and David was like, let it go. And I was like,
yeah,
but they're assholes.
Yeah, but that's not your problem. David's your
asshole.
Well,
it was because I couldn't hear what the vows that they were saying.
But you didn't even know those people.
The bride and groom? I kind of knew them.
Mm.
I was frustrated by the principle of people like talking and taking pictures during a wedding. Because I'm like debating doing, you know, you see people at weddings put up the signs where the guests walk in that are like, please don't take your phone out. Like, we paid a photographer a lot of money. But it feels patronizing because it's like, these are adults. They shouldn't need to be told not to be on their phone. And yet.
I don't know. Men have to be told to wipe their asses, like clean their asses in the shower. So what can you really count on from. Wait. Hold on. All right. Let's take our break. Becca and I are going to dig in on that.
Remember when we had the popcorn bowl discussion and somebody was like. Somebody was like, Alex doesn't wash his legs in the shower. How do I trust him to wash a popcorn bowl? And Alex was like. You supposed to wash your legs in the shower?
That's one of those things he says that it's like, I don't know if he's being serious or not.
You never know. You never know.
I did pick some posts if we want to read any of those. I don't know. I don't know what the vibe is today.
I would love to read some posts.
Okay,
please.
I'm going to send you the one I want you to do.
Okay. Put this one bead on here. This one's going to be silly. It says sharks fly. I think that's funny.
Yeah, that's hilarious. I understand that reference. I think it's very funny.
Well, the album
is
called Sparks Fly.
How Reddit looks. I miss my app. So I have not been on Reddit since Apollo went away. Like I was serious. I'm like, it's so.
I never knew about Apollo.
Oh, you were missing out. It was so good. And now I don't like. I'm using old.reddit, which is the only bearable way to use Reddit.
See, I'm just so used to it that it just has never bothered me.
Well, I guess you're a better person, except you're not really.
Yeah, we knew that.
Could you imagine? Are you going to read this or do you want me to read it?
I'll read it.
Okay, great.
Oh, had a hiccup.
Other discussions.
All right. All right, says, am I the asshole for telling my sister-in-law that she didn't actually run a marathon? I have been a runner for as long as I can remember, and I absolutely love it. I want running to continue growing as a competitive activity and as a just-for-fun hobby. I encourage and support newcomers to running. Recently, I encountered a situation where I felt gatekeeping was necessary. My sister-in-law got into running last year. She absolutely fell in love with it as well. Since I am also a runner, I decided I could connect with her on the topic. I wanted to hear about her runs, her progress, and maybe offer some helpful advice if she wanted. So at a family gathering, I asked her about running. After a bit of conversation, she mentioned to me that she ran a marathon. I was quite surprised. She ran a marathon after only getting into running a year ago. I ran a marathon in 6 months.
Yeah, but amazing. Didn't you die, and weren't you really sad and had nothing else going on in your life?
It was after a breakup, yes. It was all I had. I ran every day.
I just ran and I cried.
Yeah, pretty much. Hey, it worked, kind of. All right. I said, that's amazing. What an incredible dedication and drive, I thought to myself. I was about to praise her for this incredible accomplishment, but then she explained this, quote, marathon in detail. It was a virtual marathon that she started late last year and apparently completed this year. Basically, it was an app-based event where you tally up your running distances until you reach 42 kilometers, 26.2 miles. I chuckled slightly and told her it's great that she totaled that in that time frame, but it doesn't count as a marathon. I told her that marathons have time limits for completion, usually 6 to 8 hours. If they didn't, then I could claim multiple ultra-marathons via the aggregate distances I ran in my life. It's disingenuous and, in my opinion, undermines those who have actually run a marathon. She did not take this well. She called me an asshole, a bully, an elitist, and a few other things. I apologize for upsetting her, but I stand by what I said. She didn't run a marathon. I didn't press the subject at all and left it at that. I can't stop laughing. It's so funny. Because I'm thinking of the metaphors that you could say. Like, you could run 2 minutes a day for, like, 2 years and then be like, I ran a marathon. I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, give me the sticker.
Give me a sticker. You can just buy a sticker that says 26.2.
I wouldn't put that sticker on anything, even if I did run a marathon.
I have one of those stickers.
I know you have it. And every time I look at it, I go, why are we friends?
I'm very proud of that accomplishment.
Who's proud of things they do?
I don't know.
Sounds
okay.
White.
Okay. I didn't press the subject at all and left it at that. She wouldn't speak to me for the rest of the gathering. My wife agrees with me despite not being a runner herself. She says that her sister overreacted. Their mother said that I should have just let my sister-in-law believe that she ran a marathon. Is she like a... Like, never mind.
This maybe, is why I wanted I you know. To read this one.
Maybe, I don't know. She's 23 years old without any impairments. Validating her quote marathon would be similar to lying to a child to boost their confidence. The difference is she is not a child. Am I the asshole? No! No.
I mean, the thing that makes me feel like he was kind of shitty is the chuckle. Like, to me, that would seem so condescending.
I would do that because I would think that they were joking. So somebody could be like, yeah, I've run in the last 6 weeks, I've actually run 26 miles. So I actually have run a marathon. I like, would laugh at that because I would think that they're making a joke.
Like the same laugh I did think... when you said you and David got engaged. Like, okay.
You're like,
could you imagine?
Yeah, it's... Condescension is deserved here because there is such a huge fucking difference.
There is
such a huge difference. The whole challenge of a marathon is the distance all at once. Like, you take that out of the equation, then it's just... It's not anything. That's not a challenge at all.
That's the challenge for the runner. The challenge for the rest of us is having to hear you all talk about it forever.
Yeah.
That's like Kyle and his brain tumor. Like, I don't, you know, that was years ago. Kyle Bannis had a brain tumor. He will tell everybody about it. I'm over it.
I think I don't even know if he listens, cancer, but he would should laugh. Be able to just talk about it as much as they want.
Cancer.
Did I tell you when my friend who had lymphoma, we were doing a picnic while she was still going through treatment. We were just at a park eating some Chipotle, and these guys came up and they were like, we're doing a Family Feud style game, but just about Denver, just with people in Denver. And so they asked us questions so we could be in the survey. I was in the survey.
Picard's flute.
Picard's flute. And they, like, they ask mostly, like, surface-level questions, like, your favorite place to eat and all this stuff. But then they ask, like, what's one thing you want to change about your life right now? And she just started laughing because she's sitting there, like, with her bald head and just, like, no eyebrows, just looking at them like, the fuck do you think? Like,
it's like, I would like cake. If I could have cake, everything would be
perfect.
She's
sitting there. She's like, I don't know. I wish I made more time to read. Like,
I don't know if I think the guy, I think he is a little condescending.
I think he deserves to be condescending because this person is just so out of bounds. And I think the family is enabling it by being like, just let her think.
She like, she's like, so dumb. She's no, just so dumb.
She's not like mentally disabled. Like, this isn't, what are you?
It's like when David got his, they just gave him a doctorate. Like, just give him a doctorate.
Just let it, come on.
He's
just
fine.
Get him out of here.
He's
get him
a
out
little guy.
This is like, I was watching Amy Schumer as a new stand-up special out, and she talks about how she went to a party recently. And
that's crazy.
The guy hosting it is apparently this, like, billionaire. But as she's about to walk into the party, the person that, like, is bringing them there is like, just so you know, he's blind, but it's a secret. She's like, what do you mean? She's like, he's what? Blind, but everybody pretends that it's not happening. So, like, this guy will sit there and be like, I'm going to pour everyone drinks. And then he would just, like, pour wine all over the floor. And people would, like, come through and clean it up.
This cannot be a true story.
I don't know. But picturing it was very silly.
I don't know about that.
You think comedians exaggerate for comedy?
No. They're not people on the internet.
They wouldn't be allowed to do that.
Yeah, I don't think you can do that.
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
All right, well, let's take a break, and then we'll come back, and I'll read other posts, and Becca can keep being bad at beads.
Thanks.
I changed into comfy clothes.
I just said into the mic that you were gone for 5 years.
And in those 5 years, I've changed.
Oh, God.
Like, I'm not the person I used. No. Oh, God. No. No.
So much worse.
How am I supposed to be better? Like, where? No.
How would you even figure out how to do that?
Yeah, I can't. I am who I am. If you can't deal, if you can't handle me at my this, you don't deserve me at my that. I mean, that's the truth. I'm not afraid of that. I'm speaking my truth right now.
That feels like a beautiful, like, silly cross stitch.
If you can't handle me by this,
you don't deserve me by that.
Wow, really makes you think.
Makes you thonk.
So I beat Zelda, my Zelda last night.
Oh my God, congratulations.
I know. I wish you had been able to see it. I might actually set up so I can stream a little bit and just show you the fight, because it's actually pretty good. The ending is the last part of the fight. Remember, your last section of the fight was not hard.
Yeah, it was kind
of
relaxing.
You're just riding around on a horse. Yeah,
you just ride around and you shoot him.
It's similar in this game, but it looks really fucking cool. So I'm pretty happy with the game. There's still probably 100 hours of stuff to do, but I don't know. I just felt like, let's go try. Let's just go, like, what if, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
And I killed him. Stabbed him with my fucking sword.
Got that good sword.
Mm-hmm. Okay, you had a thing you wanted to share.
Well, so we went to take our break, and then we brought up the concept of bio breaks, which is what Cisco calls it when there's a long meeting and they give everyone like a 5 minute break in the middle of it. They call it a bio break, and I've always found it such a disgusting term. Because it's literally like what they're trying to convey is go get water and go to the bathroom, but like, just call it a bathroom break. A bathroom break to me is much less gross than calling it a bio break. And so then I made the joke that to me, I just picture people like peeing and throwing up at the same time. And I was like, one time I was, so this was exactly a year ago, pretty
much.
One
time I was, what?
It was an aside. This was a year ago that this happened.
I'm just like, and the way you said it made it sound like one time I was doing that. That was my life.
Oh, I finished the bracelet that says sharks fly.
Good work.
Thank you. So yeah, this was about a year ago. My parents were in town for a concert, and it was the early in the week. I don't know. I woke up and didn't feel good and went downstairs. My dad was like drinking his coffee and I was like, I don't feel so good. And then my dad goes back upstairs and David comes downstairs, and then I immediately throw up into the kitchen sink. Just like, whoop, puking. Was not pregnant. That wasn't even a concern. So I go back to bed and sleep for like 3 more hours. I had one meeting that day, which was an interview that we were doing with somebody to be on our team. And so I'm I'm like, well,
this is
it's
a great
at noon.
Story.
It's at noon, so I'm like, I'll sleep. And I lost my train of thought. I'm like, I'll sleep and then I'll wake up and I'll go do the interview and it'll be fine. So I'm doing the interview. And everything's going great. And then you know when, like, your body tells you, like, out of nowhere, like, you're going to throw up imminently. Like, it's going to happen.
100%. You know feeling? There is no way you're not feeling? About to vomit.
Suddenly you get very warm. Your mouth gets very dry. And
see, my mouth waters when I'm going to throw up.
Yeah, that too. That too. But it was just like, I was like, oh, God. Oh, no. And so I turn my camera off and mute, and then immediately just throw up into my office trash can under my desk. And then I eventually collect myself and unmute myself but leave my camera off. And I'm like, sorry, I'm having internet trouble, so I'm going to just keep my camera off. And then Mike ran the rest of the interview. But I told that story at our offsite earlier this year because we were like, telling like work secrets, and I was like, I'm gonna be honest, one time I had stomach flu and I threw up in the middle of interviewing somebody. I just turned that camera right off. Nobody knew.
Yeah, it's not, don't even worry about why the camera's off. It's not important.
It doesn't matter to you. Don't worry about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it wasn't your interview. They don't stay
babies
forever.
If it was important,
forever.
You would know about it. So yeah, that was my fun story. All right, let me open up the rest of the posts that you sent, so you can do one.
Okay.
Which one are you going to do?
I think I'm going to do this one called, Am I the Asshole for Dropping My Friends for Revealing My Husband's Infidelity?
Okay, exciting.
Yeah.
From the first sentence,
like
I'm already interested.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. All right.
Yeah,
so,
wow.
First sentence, here we go. I've known for years that my 44 female husband, 49 male, cheats on me. I grew up with a single mother who worked night shift at a motel. I made it my goal to give my kids a better life. Aged 18, I married my high school sweetheart. We both got jobs, him at a manufacturing company, me at a department store. Things went well until year 7 of our marriage, when the company my ex worked at closed. He fell into a depression and ended up having a one-night stand with a girl in another city where he was interviewing for a job. He confessed when he came home and said that he was depressed because the job interview was bad and he was upset from the fighting and us not sleeping in the same bed. I was furious and immediately kicked him out. Here is where my friend Marie comes in. Marie was a maid of honor at the wedding. A maid of honor. Okay. Who would even have more than one? When I told her why I had kicked my ex out, she was sympathetic. However, after I told Marie, my husband wanted to talk about how he's been working on himself ever since he cheated. After I told Marie, my husband wanted to talk about this. I don't know why I'm not reading this right. She told Marie, and then her husband wanted to work on himself. Okay.
No. She told Marie that her husband wanted to talk. So she told this. She told her
that,
friend.
That's what I
he
thought it was
to
saying, but
me.
The way it's written doesn't sound
it
like
is
that.
Written.
My brain knew what it was, but I was reading it going,
yes,
this is not right.
She's telling her friend he wants to talk.
Yeah, they're going to figure it out. Marie seemed sympathetic to the cheater and said maybe I should hear him out as a courtesy. However, I declined and divorced him. A year later, I start dating my now husband. His business started raking in a lot of profits soon after we met. After we married, I kept my friendship to Marie, even though she wasn't part of the Santa Barbara scene. My husband retired my mom after we got married. So what? He paid for her to retire? He's like, I'm sorry, we're going to get you a new mom. This one's aged out.
I guess he paid for her retirement.
He also funded my boutique business. However, he is someone who gets bored easily. At first, when I caught him cheating, he apologized. However, this one time we fought about his cheating, he threatened divorce. After that, he and I silently came to the agreement that his affairs better be discreet.
I'm sorry. You caught him cheating, and you were upset with him, and he's like, don't keep being mad at me or I'm going to break up with you.
Yeah, I swear to God. I'll go be with somebody else. No, don't. Don't do that.
If you said that, that's the problem. No, don't. No.
It was never openly discussed, and he knows I'd prefer he be faithful, especially since we have an active sex life.
However, it's giving Michael Scott in the "You cheated on me when I specifically asked you not to."
Like, what the hell? Why do we even have that conversation then? In that one night.
Made everything alright. Do we have a secret theory that it's not actually a sperm donor baby? It's actually a Hunter's baby.
I don't know. I don't follow The Office. So those people that worked at the paper company, it seems boring. All right. He'd prefer I be faithful, especially since we have an active sex life. However, I prefer this over divorce, ruining my daughter's life, and dealing with a prenup his lawyer has crafted that protects future earnings as well. In parentheses, yes, that is legal.
Yeah.
In my circle of friends, many women
deal with
this.
Why would
you
sign that?
Yeah, that seems bad. You should have had a lawyer.
I feel like most prenups include, like, if you cheat, it's void. Like, this thing's void if you cheat.
Actually,
you can put whatever terms in there you want, but that's
in mine, it's
going to
say if the person cheats, they actually get double. Like, they were bold enough to go out and get what they want. Like, they deserve more.
Hashtag brave, go boss. Yeah, go get it.
Live, laugh, love. In my circle of friends, many women deal with this. They subtly provide me with emotional support. However, Marie works in the hotel industry and became aware of my husband's cheating. It's weird to be like, yeah, she works in a hotel.
I think it's because she would see
him. Oh, like he
him.
Would be at the hotel?
Yes.
That's bold of him to be like, hey, my wife's friend.
Hey, Marie.
How's it going? This is my mistress.
This is my
one
lover
of them, anyway.
For the week.
Yeah.
This is
can we
Monica.
Get a good room? Since like we're friends, can I get a good room?
Can you give me a good room?
Yeah, I was really trying to impress her here. When she tried to subtly allude to the possibility, I brushed her off. However, last week when we were together with another friend of mine who lived in Santa Barbara, Marie brought up that my husband... We specifically live in Santa Barbara. You'd get it if you live there, but if you didn't, forget it. Don't worry about it. You don't live there.
It's Santa Barbara?
Barbara? Marie brought up that my husband was cheating, and who with? I tried to get her to stop, but she got fired up and started listing all the ways my husband was a cheater. I was furious and did not know why she wouldn't let it go. After the other friend left, I got in a fight with Marie about how she tried to get me to work it out with my ex, and she said my current husband was far worse. The way she kept telling me how my husband was horrible rubbed salt in the wound that she had opened. I finally told her that we had an arrangement and that I didn't want her around me anymore. See, she has tried calling me, but I decided I did not want to continue this friendship. Am I the asshole?
I mean, I don't know. I don't really know if there's assholes here. You're just dumb.
It just sounds bad. Like,
yeah,
I get the prenup. It sounds like you want the money, and I get it. I get it.
She says she wants her kids to have a better life than she did, and so that would include money, obviously. But at what point are you you're setting an example for your children that, like, this is the treatment that you should put up with? Like, he's allowed to cheat, but he told you,
if you don't like it, we're getting divorced.
You can't cheat on him, and he's threatening divorce, and you know that the terms of your prenup are such that you would not get anything in a divorce, which why would you sign something that doesn't even have, like, a clause for infidelity? I feel like that's, like, a thing with prenups. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know.
You'd think
not
so.
Not an expert. Anyway. I don't know that they're an asshole. I just think they're really dumb. I mean, it's shitty to be that shitty to a friend who's genuinely trying to help you. Like, it sounds like the friend was just like, hey, he is not a good guy. I see him cheating on you constantly.
But previously she had said, yeah, I think you should listen to your husband who's cheating on you.
But it sounds like the dynamics with that husband were very different.
That was once. Like, that guy, he was like, I feel so bad about
it. It was one time and he was so remorseful. And like, not that that excuses anything, but it did seem like a very different situation than this husband who's now being like, yeah, I'm going to cheat on you. Deal with it or I will leave you and you get nothing. Like, this is very different.
She should kill that guy.
Do you want me to kill that guy for you?
See you at improv practice.
See you at improv practice.
I also wonder, she mentioned her mom had been cheated on, I think so too. I already closed the tab, so I can't remember, but I think she said her mom had been cheated on, and I wonder if she's repeating, like,
yeah,
bad lessons she learned, which obviously isn't ideal, but yeah, I don't think she's the asshole either. Maybe everybody sucks here.
Probably. Let's see, what did the audience read? This isn't actually from the Am I the Asshole subreddit. It's from a different one.
Oh, that's weird. It was in Am I the Asshole. Maybe it's a cross post.
It says r/AITAH. It says, this is a community like Am I the Asshole, except unlike that subreddit, here you can post interpersonal conflicts, anything that's AITA, but is not allowed there, even posting about Scar from The Lion King and trying to convince Redditors that he was not the asshole.
What?
Rules, don't berate others, and no pornography.
Okay, I don't know. This came from the Am I the Asshole. I went there and found the post, so that's weird. I don't know.
It's fine.
Anyway, it's your turn.
Anyway. Did we read the comments on this? Like, what did the people think?
Oh, I didn't read the comments. She only had one about the kids.
No, I mean the Redditors. Do people agree with us?
Do they ever agree with us?
Sometimes.
All right, let's see. You're the asshole. This whole situation is goofy. You look goofy for saying it. Just go ahead and make it worse for yourself.
I love the word goofy in this context. Like, it's such a serious thing. And they're like, you look so goofy right now.
Someone replies, goofy is probably the kindest word. Lol. Yeah. The whole time I was reading, I kept thinking, what a mess this whole thing is. Yeah. I don't get it. Why did you not forgive your first husband? Who's way more remorseful than your current husband. But you forgive your current husband. I don't know if she forgives the current husband. I think she's just gotten used to the lifestyle.
She feels stuck, I think. Yeah, now she's used to the money. Doesn't want to lose out on the money.
It looks like
versus her
people,
first husband who was broke.
This people says, most of the people are saying that the poster is the asshole.
Classic.
And that, but most all of them are saying, like, too, this is just really sad. Like, this sucks. Why
this
are you
whole
doing
thing is
this?
Sad. And it sucks for your kids. So they're watching you do this.
Yeah.
And
they're
going to repeat this
not
pattern.
Not be aware.
Like, it's, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just going to keep happening. It's bad. It seems bad.
I mean, shit's going to happen anyway. Things are always happening. We don't control that.
I'm finishing up this bracelet that you requested that says Tyler Smith.
I am excited for you to trade that to somebody. I think that's going to be very funny.
I should purposely give it to like a child, right? Like, I made you this. It says Taylor Swift.
I feel like they're going to a child might actually be upset.
Yeah, that's true.
So I would give it to an adult.
I would think it's
find
funny.
The worst person.
I made David one that says, well, I'm making him one that says feeling 32. Because she has the song Feeling 22.
Mm-hmm.
But that one's for Dave because he's an old man.
He is. He's the oldest person I know that is younger than me.
Yeah. That makes, if you know David, that sentence makes absolute perfect sense.
Okay, you read the next one.
Okay, hold on. Let me cut this. And
she's still working on the damn bracelets.
Yeah, I am.
They're turning
this
the bracelets
one that you
gay.
Requested.
It's not
Smith.
For me. It was just as I thought it'd be interesting.
I said it would be interesting. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on.
Okay.
Hold on.
Great.
The title of this one is giving gave me cookie, got you cookie. Says, am I the asshole for not giving my girlfriend, 25 female, my dinner after I already bought her dinner? Gamey dinner got you dinner.
Gamey dinner got you dinner.
My 25 female and I 29 male live in NYC, and there is a popular app where you buy leftover restaurant food. Oh. Restaurants advertise surprise bags at a reduced price in order to reduce food waste. That's kind of a cool idea. The customer doesn't know what they're getting until they pick up the food.
Wouldn't it be better to donate that food?
I mean, they're effectively donating it because it's they said the cost is at least three times lower than the normal menu price. So I guess someone who is strapped for cash could get the food for very cheap.
But right? Not someone without cash.
Correct. But there's not always, I mean, they could be doing both. There's not always the means to do that, right? Like, we volunteer at a shelter, and, like, they usually cannot accept cooked food because of food safety. Like, they need to know that they've prepared it themselves
based on state laws. So when we were getting catering at the first office I was in here in San Francisco with Cisco, they partnered with a service to make sure all the extra food got donated, like, because they cooked it, and then they kept it warm, and they served it. Like, they had all the food safety. But there are groups that should be able to take that. I don't know.
It's not the point of the post, but it's cooked in a restaurant. It's not if it's cooked in a restaurant kitchen, though, because if it's a random restaurant, then, like, the shelter doesn't have any way to verify the food safety of it versus a catering partner, which I feel like is much more, you have a lot more control there.
Maybe.
But anyway, food safety. Because then, yeah, if somebody gets food poisoning, who's liable, right? Is it the restaurant?
You are.
Shouldn't have gotten food poisoning. Just don't get robbed. E.g., if an entree, okay, so it's three times less. If an entree is $24, the restaurant's allowed to charge $8 at most for it. They're hit or miss. Sometimes you get exactly what you want at a greatly reduced price. Sometimes you get something that you otherwise wouldn't have picked from the menu. This sounds like a great idea. I mean, any reduction in food waste is a win, I think. I ordered a surprise bag from a barbecue place that I was picking up on my way home. Yesterday, I texted my girlfriend asking if she wanted one, but she said no, she wasn't in the mood for barbecue. Hold on, let me tie this last knot. however, there was an Indian restaurant right next door that also had surprise bags available on the app, so she ordered one of them. The barbecue was $12. The Indian food was $10. When I got home to unpack the meals, see what she got, I was psyched about my bag. Since I paid $12, I knew the value had to be at least $36, but honestly, the platter looked a lot more expensive. This was a hit. Keep in mind, we live in the West Village, which is the most expensive neighborhood in the most expensive city. All right, fucking rich, flexing. He's like, keep in mind, we're pretty rich. So
$36, just in general, you're an asshole. Like, we can say that at least.
$36 for a meal is pretty standard. There were burnt ends, ribs, pulled pork, baked beans, potato salad, bread, onions, and pickles. That sounds pretty good. My girlfriend, however, was less lucky. Her surprise bag only had six different types of soup, half of them being variations on cauliflower soup. She was disappointed, to say the least. She asked if we could share my barbecue, and I said, no, I'm hungry. I offered to buy you some already, and you said no, so I'm going to devour it. This guy's a dick. She got mad and called me the asshole. I told her if she didn't want soup, she should have ordered something specifically instead of using the surprise bag app. I then told her to just order something off a food delivery app. She said she didn't want to spend the money. Another bit of context is I make a lot more money than her and pay all of our rent.
Sounds like such an asshole.
I know she's running a bit of a lean financial picture right now. I then tell her if she doesn't want to pay for delivery, I'll walk to the bodega on her street and I can buy her something there. Another bit of context that we live on a fourth floor walk-up with no elevator. She broke her leg in a car accident a month ago, so it can be tough for her to get around. I'm reading his voice in the most dickish way. She says the grill is probably off there and all she wants is a hot meal. I tell her she has soup. Anyway, she thinks I'm the asshole. But in my defense, one, I offered to buy her barbecue to begin with, which she declined. Two, she picked out her own food and I grabbed it for her on my way home. Three, when she wasn't satisfied, I suggested two solutions, either ordering something from an app or going to a bodega. So Reddit, am I the asshole? Yes. You know what you should have done? When she said, I'm not in the mood for barbecue, you should have picked a different restaurant for both of you to order from.
And if you have money, why don't you just pay the normal amount of food instead of this subsidizer, whatever you want to call it.
I feel like this app is for people who don't have the money and need a cheap takeout, right? Like, you are taking advantage of this. Yeah. Wow. What a dick.
He just seems like an asshole in general. Like, not this situation. Just the way he wrote about this.
It is the situation, though. Like, it's just... Like, yeah, it's a grab bag, but what if it were reversed and she got, like, tikka masala and a mango lassi and garlic naan and a bunch of rice and you got...
Sounds amazing.
Three containers of green beans. Like, would you have been like, hey, give me some of your tikka masala? And what would you have done if she's like, no, you have three containers of green beans. That's your problem.
Yeah, just have that. They're healthy. They're beans. I hate this guy.
Yeah. I'm going to kill that guy for you.
29 and 25. I don't know about that. Okay. I
don't know who would do that age gap.
I will read one more.
Great.
Okay. This one's long and it has an update in line. All right. Am I the asshole for not wanting to use my college fund to pay for my brother's treatment?
I'm intrigued.
Yeah. My parents divorced when I was about 7 because my dad had admitted to having an affair. I think, you know, you just deal with that. My mom and I moved out of our house and into an apartment while my dad immediately moved his mistress into our house because she was pregnant with my twin brothers.
Yikes.
My mom was devastated, but she quickly picked herself up for us. She went back to school, and as a result, she continued climbing up in her career. My mom adjusted better to going from a double-income household to a single-income household and was able to contribute a substantial amount of money to my college fund. My dad, on the other hand, had a harder time as he now had to support a family of 4, sometimes 5, on a single income as his wife is a stay-at-home mother. My dad did not have much disposable income and so did not contribute as much to the fund. I'm going to finish school soon, and I have a good shot at getting into my first choices of college. Unfortunately, my brother, 10 male, was diagnosed with a kidney disease, which has progressed to where he needs to be on dialysis.
I don't know why I laughed.
It's like, LOL, get better kidneys, idiot. What's wrong with you, Becca? Like, you're dying. You should see her. She's so happy right now. You hate kids. Is this it? Like, you're like, not only do you not want to have kids, you're like, I think other kids should die.
No,
that's fine.
No, I feel really bad.
Do you? You're still laughing. I'm getting mixed signals. Much to consider. My dad is drowning in medical debt, so my mom agreed he no longer needed to pay child support. The specialist had suggested a different treatment for my brother, as most other treatments didn't help or stopped working, and they are running out of options short of a transplant, which is not doable at this time. This treatment is not covered by insurance and costs a lot. My dad can't take out a loan due to debt. Dad and his wife sat me down when I was over and asked if I would be willing to let them borrow my college fund to pay off my brother's treatment. They offered to pay the money back, but I know they won't be able to. I really don't want to give them the money because I know if I don't get any scholarships, I wouldn't be able to go to the college I want without going into debt myself. My future would be at risk, and I know my dad wouldn't help if I needed it. In addition, the money technically belongs to my mom. I can't just give it away, and I know she would refuse to give them any money. My dad and his wife are furious at both my mom and I and is trying to guilt me into it. I do feel terrible for my little brother. Am I the asshole? And then there's a couple of edits, so I'm going to do those as well.
I'm going to go out on a limb here and say the asshole here is the American healthcare system.
Also the dad, though. But yeah.
A little bit, but the dad is in a very tough spot. I mean, his kid is going to die.
Got another. There's twins. So you already have two.
God. You already have a copy. Oh, God.
Edit to add.
Wait,
my dad.
Wait. Why can't they just transplant one of the twins' kidneys into the other twin?
That's a great question, Becca. I haven't looked to see if there's any comments yet, but I got to believe someone
is
going to ask that.
But that feels like a pretty obvious solution.
You can't take a kidney from a 10-year-old.
I guess they can't actually consent to, like, giving up an organ.
Can they not?
Giving up a kidney is a pretty serious, like, it
they call them kidneys for a reason.
It impairs you a bit for the rest of your life, as I understand it. Like, you have to, like...
Oh, you know so much about kidneys.
Otherwise, people would do it all the time, give everyone their kidneys. Like, it is a pretty serious
thing.
You gotta give. I think there are limits on... what you can force kids to do.
Okay, once medically. I finish reading the edits, I'm going to look up, can children donate kidneys? Even if they don't donate it, you could steal a kidney from a kid. They can't put up a fight like an adult would. Edit to add. My dad does have a second job that he works on the weekend. And are you looking it up right now? I see you looking at a monitor.
No, I'm looking at the text from my cousin to see how delayed her flight is.
Oh, my God.
Damn it.
Nothing makes you happy. My dad does have a second job that he works on the weekend, and his wife homeschools the boys and is a full-time caregiver for my brother. My dad's family disowned him when the affair came to light. He did get some help from his brother and sister, but they can only give so much. I do think I was his last option. His wife did not have a lot of family. Lastly, of course I would feel bad if something happened to my brother. He's just a little kid, but I would want to help him with my own money, and I can only do that if I start my career debt-free. I also don't want to risk my own future. Another update. So I called my mom. She left work early and picked me up from my dad's house. She took me for coffee, and I explained what happened. After talking a bit, she said I could either keep the fund as is and not give dad the money, or we could take the money that he had contributed and give it back to him. I told her I wanted to give dad back the money he put in. After we finished our coffee, mom withdrew the exact amount dad put in over the years. Mom also matched the amount and added it to give to dad. I waited in the car while she gave dad the money, and he was upset because the money wasn't enough. Mom told him that's all he's going to get from her and threatened to take him to court if he and his wife keep harassing me. This is probably the last update as I'm going low contact with my dad for now. Thank you, everyone, for the genuine support and advice.
Yeah, I think the mom and son handled this as best they could. It's a very, sounds like a very hard situation.
Yeah, that's like an impossible situation for the two of them.
It is lose-lose for every, like, for everybody. It's lose-lose because, yeah.
So there are some comments. Okay, so the first, the oldest comment from the poster is they are 10 years old. Dad and wife do not want the twin to donate because he cannot give informed consent at this age.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot of risks that come with donating a kidney, and in order to do that, you have to be willing to donate the kidney, and that means
and knowing, understand the future
and what understanding that means for you. Yeah. What you're looking at for the rest of your life.
Should use some stem cells. The dad stopped contributing to the college fund when the poster was, or so 5 years ago. The twins are homeschooled due to the brother's compromised immune system. So the dad's wife cannot actually get a job because she has to also be the full-time caretaker. Let's see. Dad doesn't know how much is in the fund, but he knows it's a lot and believes it's enough to cover the full treatment. The poster believes that there would need to be follow-up and that it won't be enough. The dad would never dare ask the mom for money. It says he's mad because there's resentment that the mom made a better life while the second wife and the dad struggle.
Yeah. I mean, if it truly is, this is our only way to get this money. The only way I see is like, get it in writing that your dad is now going to be the primary and only signer on loans for your tuition. As in, like, if he says I'm going to pay you back, you give him that college fund, he puts every single student loan in his name and his name only, so but you can go to college.
The poster said the dad doesn't have any money, like the dad has debt or something, so that, like, credit, so not gonna be able to get those loans.
Oh, that's true. Well, for student loans, I don't know that you need any credit because it's a student loan, but anyway.
Well, I think it's different if a parent, like,
the parent can co-sign.
Students can get student loans. Parents can get, like, parent plus loans and stuff like that, which is different.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think the poster is the asshole. I think the poster, if they're about to go into college, is probably 17. I think they're in a terrible situation.
It's such a hard thing. And, yeah, and I mean, they're lucky that they're able to look at it so clearly, because it seems like the dad really ultimately is trying to take advantage of, like, this is your brother. Don't you care? Like, he's going to die. And it's like, it's not your money. Like, don't, because now if the brother does die, this kid's going to carry that around for the rest of his life. Of like, oh my
God, that's already going to be hard enough.
Even though,
and like, you don't know that the treatment is going to help or actually do anything. Yeah. But you're right. Like, the healthcare system is the problem. This is a 10-year-old. This should never happen. That, like, well, guess you'll die.
Right. Right.
Oops.
Right.
Shouldn't have had the bad genes. And then you got to worry that the twin would have perhaps similar conditions, right? I mean, if they're genetically pretty similar.
Yeah. I mean, the fact that the insurance isn't covering this, why and how? Speaking of this, before we close, there is something related that needs to be talked about because I love John and Hank Green. They're like my favorite YouTubers. But John Green posted this thing about Johnson & Johnson. I want to put this out there as a PSA to our 50 to 60 dedicated listeners. Which is Johnson & Johnson has had a patent on this drug for tuberculosis called beta quinoline, something. I'm reading it right now.
Kind of.
So they have had this patent for 20 years, and it's a life-saving treatment for tuberculosis. And it's only been through Johnson & Johnson because it's patented. And so they have been able to charge whatever they want. It's extremely cost prohibitive. I don't know how much it costs, but it's very expensive. And basically, if they were to just make it openly readily available and dissolve their patent, that like you'd be able to make this very cheaply, and people who need the medication could get it for very cheap, and it would save millions of lives in 1 year alone. And their patent is set to expire this year, and they have decided to apply for an evergreen patent and just keep extending their patent forever and ever so that nobody else can ever make this drug, and so they can keep charging whatever they want for it. And so I want everyone to be aware of that. It's a problem. I don't know.
I mean, you know, I hate everything about our society and the way it's structured. I can't stand it. I say this all the time. I just had this conversation when I was talking to DC earlier, is that like I just don't understand why we can't just take care of people. There's so much wealth and like resources on the world.
Yeah,
that we should just be taking care of people. And I know why we don't. It's greed and capitalism and all that. But it's money. Frustrating to no end because there's nothing I can do about it, right? Like,
it's a specific American brand of capitalism, because there are capitalist societies in this world that aren't perfect by any means, but seem to have figured out that, like, the greater good comes before exorbitant wealth and greed. And, yeah, I don't know. I hate it.
I hate it. So incredibly frustrating. I just want people to take care of each other. But I don't know. You know how I feel about it. So it makes me so angry. But that's why I donate and volunteer and do what I can. I actually spent yesterday, we went down to Second Harvest of Silicon Valley and just spent 4 hours like packing bags of food for people. We did something. I think we did 12,000 pounds of food, maybe. It's either 12,000 or 12,000, I don't know, but it was a lot. Like they said, for a group our size is very good. And it was nice. It was nice to go do something like physical with my hands that's actually going to help people.
Yeah, we have a little shelter in Denver that we go volunteer at sometimes. It's super easy. Like they will just have on their website like open shifts, and it's always like meal prep. It's not like you're even having to really interact with anyone. Like you'll come in and they're like, we need you to chop 300 sweet potatoes. Like
I would love to do that. I would find that so incredibly relaxing.
Very meditative. Like they just put you at a station and they'll every day it's like different shit. So it'll be like, today you're going to rinse and chop 400 boxes of mushrooms. Like go have fun. And like there's no music, there's not, you just sit there and do it for an hour and then you leave. But it is like such a nice, it feels very concrete. It's like sometimes you spend so much time online and you're like, things are so bad and you're aware of so much bad. And sometimes it's nice to just go do one nice thing that you know is going to immediately help people. And that feels good.
Direct help, I think, is always the best. Like if I have cash on me, I'll usually give it to someone if they're asking out on the street or whatever. Because I'm like, whatever. I was going to buy drugs with this. You might use it on something you actually need. I don't know. It was rewarding to do that. Like I'm glad I have a job now where I have enough like wellness and mental health and free time to think about, okay, how can I go and turn around and help other people? Because when I was not, when I had no money and I was working 70 hours a week, I had no capacity to go out and try to help others. And I still felt like I needed to. Now I can actually do that, which is nice. But
yeah, there's a person that went to my church growing up who is now a nurse in, I think, the Dominican Republic. She runs like a clinic, and she like gets money from the church, but like had an urgent thing that was like, the pickup truck that doubles as an ambulance has broken down and we need to buy a new truck. And like, so sent a letter to like everybody that went to our church growing up, just being like, I need $50,000 for a brand new truck for this clinic. Like, please, here's my Venmo, like send me this money. And it's someone that we've known for years, but and my mom was still like hesitant. She's like, shouldn't the money just be coming through the church? And I'm like, first of all, you saw the data on what the church spends its money on. Like, and I was like, I'm sure that there is a process for that, but it's probably required like paperwork and writing up like a little grant thing and then waiting for approvals and like a whole thing. And it's like, if you can just send a letter to everybody you know and be like, here's my Venmo, I need a new truck that will also be an ambulance for this clinic. Like, it's like, that will be infinitely more helpful for you to just give her that money than give it to a charity who's going to like slice and dice it and do whatever with it. Yeah. Right? Like,
yeah.
You can just immediately give that money and be like, great, here you go. This is going to help you buy that truck.
Yeah, so. I would never give money to a church. I'm like, who are you actually helping? I'll go to them directly.
Right, right. Yeah. So.
Well, I feel like we're ending on a serious note. Do you want to make a poop joke or anything? Like, balance it?
I'm seeing Taylor Swift tomorrow. I'm very excited about it.
Okay.
I made a bucket list when I was in like seventh grade, and it was my number one item was to see Taylor Swift. So I'm probably going to cry a lot.
That sounds so dumb.
Yeah. Yeah. Fulfilling a lifelong dream is really stupid.
No, I can't relate. That's not true. Every time, like doing the big band, getting to play drums, like all this stuff I've been doing musically, I'm like, wow, I'm fulfilling a thing I've wanted to do for like 25 years. That's great. Good for me. I get it. It just,
we were
Taylor Swift, come on.
I love her. We were watching the Foo Fighters documentary last night, and the Foo Fighters, and I never knew like their history or anything. I knew like the two songs that we played in our band. That's all I really knew about the Foo Fighters. And so today while I was working, I was just listening to like all their albums, and I was like, these guys are pretty good. So I just texted our group chat. I was like, I found this new band called the Foo Fighters. They're pretty good. IMO. You guys should check them out.
I don't listen to them a ton. There's a handful of songs I like. But the drummer in my college band was also the singer in his own band. And I played bass for him. And he loved the Foo Fighters and sounded just like them. And a lot of this stuff was written just
I wonder why he loved the Foo Fighters if he was the drummer and then the singer.
And then the singer, right? Like, okay, I see what you've done here. Do you know the drummer in the in Nirvana looks like the singer from
the Foo Fighters?
Like, they could be twins.
They could be twins. It was really funny when we were watching, and like, they talk about how they recorded that album. The album that Everlong is on, it has a weird name. It's The Shape of something. Okay. Don't drag me, Foo Fighters fans.
Yeah, for all you Foo fans, fighters? Foo fans. I don't know what to call you.
Whatever.
Foofers?
So that's the album. It's like their biggest Foofies. Album. The album that has My Hero and Everlong on it. And he talks about how they recorded the whole thing with their drummer at the time. And then like a month later, Dave Grohl was like, we gotta redo this, but don't tell the drummer. Like, I'm just gonna redo all the drums.
I have heard that, yes.
And we won't tell him. And it was super shitty of him to do this, but
but was better, right?
The drums in that album are so good. I was listening to that album today, and I'm like, thank God he did that, because it is just, it's real good. It's real good.
So, I played music with this guy I met at a wedding when Chris and I went a couple months ago. He works for Apple, but I knew his partner, so we started talking. And we're just playing. Like, I brought my guitar. I was playing that, and then I switched to drums at one point, and he starts playing that. He's like, you can do this, right? I was like, oh, God, kind of. And it was easier than it used to be doing, like, it's all, you know, 16th notes that it's hard, but we did okay. But, yeah, I total respect for the drumming of David Grohl, I think is his name.
Unpopular opinion, but Dave Grohl is a very good drummer. Like, people don't know this.
Yeah.
I don't know if people know
this. He used
to
be in this band, Nirvana?
That's it.
Nirvana? Yep. I don't remember.
Yep.
They played...
No, it's Carvana.
Carvana, yeah. He was the drummer for Carvana. And actually, they had their hit song, Smells Like Teen Shit. And, you know, that's what we always say when we're doing our meetings. We're like, all right, let's do some team shit. It smells like team shit in here.
The drums in that song, also great.
Yeah. Who did that?
I don't know.
Okay, anyways, I'm going to go, and I might edit this before bed here, but it is an hour and a half long, and it is already 9 o'clock, so probably not. Cool. Great. Well, I hope you don't die, but it's okay if David does. Have a great week.
Oh,